Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. Here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. Coming up after 3 o'clock, we're going to talk with Matthew Hoffman about his special screening of King Kong on the big screen. We'll get all the details on that. We are going to talk about Seinfeld, best episodes of Seinfeld, and much more. It's Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything. Wildcard Wednesday. 312-981-7200. All right. Welcoming back to the show right now, we welcome Dr. Karen Phillips. She is a psychotherapist, a clinical hypnotherapist, and a relationship expert. She's been on the show several times. She's written several books, including her latest, which is OMG, We're Getting Married, 7 Essential Things You Need to Know Before You Say I Do. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on, because we're getting into, you know, the spring is coming up, and the weddings will start, and maybe we'll get a little advice in that department. But we're going to talk about some pretty interesting stories, including stories about anxiety and panic attacks, and how to reduce worker stress. She's a fascinating woman, and we're always pleased to welcome her back to the show, Dr. Karen Phillips. Doctor, welcome back.
Pleasure to be with you this morning.
Yes. So tell everybody how you, let's get a little background, how you got into to become a psychotherapist. Was it always something you were interested in when you were young?
I was always interested in psychology, I really was, but I ended up gravitating into more corporate work. I ran corporate offices, many, you know, hundreds of staff, and I did that until I was around about 40, and I thought, you know what, I think I want to change. So I gravitated then over to counselling, psychotherapy, loved that, but just felt that I could move my clients along a little bit faster, so that's when I studied clinical hypnotherapy, to enable me to get the clients to where they wanted to go a little bit quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it happened.
And you have clients all over the world, correct?
Yes, I do. I do a lot in my rooms locally in Australia here, but then I do an awful lot in FaceTime, Skype, or Zoom, pretty much from around the world. Yes, it's great.
Yeah, and people can actually, if they're interested, you know, like and a lot of the hypnotherapy we've heard about before in the past, and you know, it's about changing your thoughts more than anything else, and it helps with things like weight loss and quitting smoking and reducing anxiety and things like that. What is it about changing your thoughts that helps you physically?
Well, hypnotherapy, it's a natural process in which your mind becomes more receptive to positive suggestions while releasing the negative feelings. It allows the mind and aids the mind, I guess, to rapidly integrate new skills, strategies, and strengths. And it's more of an alternative healing method used to create subconscious change in the form of new responses, thoughts, attitudes, behaviours. And that's what's so wonderful about it. It's natural. There's no chemicals, no drugs. And we all actually have the ability to adjust our own subconscious thoughts. We adjust our thoughts, we adjust our behaviours, and even our physical well-being is therefore improved.
And people can actually, if they're interested in having a personal session with you at Virtual Hypnotherapy, they can check out virtualhypnotherapy.com, correct?
Yes, that's right. There's a lot of sessions that are on there that people all over the world purchase. Mainly USA and Australia are purchasing them, but we get them from all through Europe and Asia and yeah, everywhere. So it's great. We put them online so more people could access it for a very small cost. I mean, it's in Australian dollars, so for a lot of Americans, they can access them anywhere from $10 for a full session of hypnotherapy, and it's theirs to keep. So it's working really well.
Mm, okay, great. And so this works. You say you do FaceTime and Skype, and how does that work? How does the sessions work in that regard?
Well, people will contact me. I find out where in the world they're living. I ask their preferred time and day, and then we just set a time. I contact them at that set time. They are in a room, usually themselves, sitting somewhere comfortably. I'm on the other end on, as I say, Skype, Zoom, or even FaceTime. And then I ask them some questions, take down some notes, and then put on a bit of background music and do a session for them. And if they want, I can record their individual session and flick them through an MP3 or MP4 of that session that we've done.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. And your success rate is pretty high, huh?
It is. We've been very lucky. We've got most everyone has achieved exactly what they want, which is the whole idea of a therapy session.
That's fantastic. And you can get, by the way, Dr. Karen Phillip is the website. Dr. Karen Phillip is the website, .com. And we have a link on our Facebook page for you to check it out easily. And that's facebook.com/Nick D Show. Recently, Dr. Kevin Love, NBA player, and TV personality Carson Daly opened up about their struggles with panic attacks and anxiety. First of all, sort of describe what a panic attack is for people who might not have ever, who don't know what it is or have ever had one. It's pretty scary.
Oh, absolutely frightening. In fact, if you ask anybody that works in a hospital ER, they will tell you that a number of them come through most evenings and most people believe they're having a heart attack.
Right.
Some of them can be extremely severe. Your heart starts to race. Your breathing becomes very fast. You become sweaty and agitated. Your blood pressure rises. You get very fidgety. You can have pains in the chest. It's really quite scary. And what it is, it's heightened anxiety. It's a perceived fear or threat. So it doesn't have to be real. You could be walking around in a normal day, and all of a sudden, in the subconscious, it will pick up a sound or a smell or a word or something from your past that you really won't be aware of consciously, and bang, you're in a full panic because of a perceived fear or threat. And that's unfortunately what happens. But most people that do suffer panic attacks, it's not that, you know, you're happy and healthy and it's out of the blue. These people normally do suffer quite a considerable degree of anxiety before a panic attack usually strikes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've struggled. I've never had a real full-on terrifying panic attack, but I've struggled with anxiety for a lot of my life. And it's something that just, you know, I feel anxious about things. Instead of being excited about things, I feel anxious, usually.
That's not unusual. No, it's not unusual. But anxiety feeling anxious is part of normal human. That's what we do. It's just that these days we seem to become, we're a little out of touch, if you like, with our own emotions and feelings. Like we feel down or sad, we think we're depressed. Now, depression, for those that have suffered it, know the difference. But many people that have never actually suffered depression feel that if they're dragging themselves around and they feel a bit hopeless because of something that may have happened, a marriage breakdown, a child that's unwell, a divorce, we're going to feel that way. And children feel anxious at times. I mean, when they start to walk, they feel anxious. Are they going to fall over?
Right.
When they take off their two wheels, their extra wheels on their two-wheeler bike, so they're riding alone for the first time. When we get into a car and have to drive alone for the first time when we get our license, sitting that exam that we're frightened that, oh, my God, am I going to pass or am I going to get the score I need for university? Oh. All of these bring on a degree of anxiety for us. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with us. If the anxiety is able to pass, then that's fine. You know, we take a few deep breaths, we come back, we become mindful, we ground ourselves. Okay, this is what's happening, this is what I'm going through at the moment, and I know it will pass in a few moments. It's only when the anxiety continues to bombard us day after day and starts to infringe on our healthy lifestyle, our activities, that's when it starts to become a real issue and problem for us.
Yeah. I find it really interesting, and maybe I'm sure you have insight into this. Both of these people, Kevin Love and Carson Daly, are very public people. They have to perform in front of millions of people. Carson Daly is, you know, hosts a TV show that millions of people watch in an auditorium. Kevin Love's a basketball player, and you would think, you know, I mean, in the simplest of levels, you would think, well, these people have to deal with, you know, most things that would make people really anxious, you know, performing in front of people, and yet anxiety still hits these people.
That's right. I mean, look, a lot of us, you know, public speaking is obviously one of the major fears of human, but there's a huge degree of people, really, that are more than comfortable to stand up in front of 1,000 people and speak, or to be in front of a camera. It's really not that big a deal for them. It's what's going on in their life personally that creates the anxiety. And a lot of it is to do with a lack of either self-confidence, self-esteem issues, which has got nothing to do with their public persona. They could be extremely confident in their external persona, their capacity in whether they're playing sport or acting or presenting, but it's what's going on internally for them, how they're managing to deal with their relationships, how they're managing to deal with their personal issues. These are the things that usually start to generate the anxious feeling that we have inside of ourselves.
Mm. Now, how can one get over this anxiety? Now, I know that hypnotherapy is a way to do it. Are there any other ways that or suggestions for people to kind of try and keep their anxiety controlled?
Yeah, oh, look, for sure. It's not the fact that you're experiencing anxiety at the moment does not mean that you've got it forever. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Counseling therapy is so beneficial. They call it, some people call it talk therapy, but it is a counseling sort of session. And what that means is that you can safely disclose to a professional what it is you're feeling. So for a start, we're safe. Then we can feel validated that what we're feeling is not so crazy, because a lot of us feel that we're going nuts. We
yeah.
think that, my God, no one else must feel like this.
Yeah.
However, many people feel that way from time to time in their life. And if you've never experienced it before, or it's something new for you, and no one in your family has ever spoken to you about it, or friends haven't opened up, then we start to feel very isolated and different. We feel odd from everybody else. But once we start to understand that what we're going through is something quite reasonable, quite normal, and it's temporary, that's when we can usually start to learn the strategies and the skills to go past it, to manage how, when these anxieties hit us or a panic attack hits us, what we do. You know, breathing is very important, grounding yourself, counting backwards from seven is another very good way to do it, because what it does is it refocuses our mind on something completely outside the issue. Because when we're in a panic attack, we're in the panic attack, and we think of it, we feel it, we're experiencing it. But when we do something like count backwards from seven or from a nine or whatever it is we're doing, then that takes our mind out of ourselves and puts it somewhere else external to us.
Yeah.
And that is what can be really helpful.
Okay. All right. Doctor, could you hang on, please?
Sure.
All right, Dr. Karen Phillip is with us, and you can check out her website at drkarenphillip.com. We have a link on our Facebook page. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to reduce worker stress, in the office and things like that. And you can also, if you're interested in checking out her virtual hypnotherapy for anxiety, reducing anxiety or quitting smoking or weight loss or many other things, check out virtualhypnotherapy.com. And we'll talk more with Dr. Phillip right after we take this break on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and it is Wednesday morning. Wildcard Wednesday. That means get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything, get them in now. 312-981-7200. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. Coming up after 3 o'clock, Matthew Hoffman is going to join us from the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series. He's screening the original 1933 King Kong tomorrow, and we'll give you all the details on that. Right now, we are talking with Dr. Karen Phillip. She is a psychotherapist, a clinical hypnotherapist, and a relationship expert who's authored several books. And we've been talking about anxiety and stress and things like that. And let's welcome Dr. Phillip back. Doctor, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, there's a related story. We were just talking about, a couple of celebrities in the news opening up about their anxiety and their panic attacks. There's also a related story that, millennials seem to be looking for perfection, like close enough apparently isn't as good enough for today's young adults. And there was a study that looked at college students from 89 to 2016, and the personality traits that label someone a perfectionist has risen dramatically and caused some mental stress and health issues. What do you think about this, like the current generation going through these kind of things?
Well, it's exactly correct. That study was a really large study, and I don't think they expected to really get the results that they did. The fact is that there is so much pressure, not just on our young, but everybody today, but certainly the young people of today, the millennials, they're not able to develop the way that we used to, the older generation did. You know, we would start off in a job, and then we would work our way up, and then the pressures would increase. But these days, the millennials are stepping straight in to a pressure position, not only at work but also at universities. It's so much more competitive, and the need and the drive, not only within themselves but often from their parents, is quite significant. So we are seeing more and more millennials and human beings in general, older age group as well, really starting to suffer the results physically as well as emotionally and mentally because of the pressures that that we're under.
Yeah. Well, I also think, and we have talked about this in the past, Doctor, that the technology and the social media and things like that, I think is clearly adding to anxiety and stress to everybody.
Yes, they are. Unfortunately, they are. And most everyone knows that things that you see on social media are all wonderful. Everyone having a great time. Everyone succeeding, getting awards, attending events. They're not privy to the other side of things behind closed doors and what's going on. So if anything in our life is just going along humdrum and mundane, and then we see all of these posts and comments by all these people that we deem successful and vibrant and happy, then it makes us feel certainly not in the same position as them. It feels like there's something wrong with us, that we're missing out, when in fact that is not true. And age usually gives us that experience, but certainly when you're younger, under the age of 30, for instance, and our millennials, then they don't actually see the balance at this stage. So therefore, they're the ones that are suffering far more than the older age group at the moment.
And there's just a bombardment, though, of things via the internet and via social media that I think really has stressed everybody out.
It has. It's... look, we never 10 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, we had no capacity at all to understand where this was going to go and where we were going to be led a decade later. It has happened at such a fast pace. We've all been caught by surprise. And people ask us all the time in the mental health profession, where do you think it's going? What's going to happen? And I wish we knew, but unfortunately we don't. And it is occurring so rapidly. Our mind, our physiology, if you like, as well, is struggling to keep up. Mm. So we're all rather concerned on what's going to happen. And now we've got the new generation of children that are being born at the age of 18 months or two. There you go. They've got a tablet or phone in their hand.
Yeah.
They're swiping. They're playing. We don't know what the outcome is going to be in 15 or 20 years for these kids. Yeah. We really don't know. So all we can do is advise the parents to, of course, they have to engage in their tablet or their phone device, their social media. That's part of their world these days. Mm-hmm. As long as we can start to balance that with family meals and outside activities and conversations, as long as we can balance it for them, I think we may be okay. But if we lose that balance, then I think we've got some major issues looming in the next couple of decades.
Yeah. We've been talking about anxiety and stress, and let's talk about one of your recent blog posts. One of the recent blog posts was tips for working with a local office, or how to reduce worker stress. A lot of people get stressed out at work. What are some of the ways that people can kind of use that to reduce your stress?
Well, usually if it's the boss that's noticing a lot of this, the supervisor, leading by example is one of the prime ways that stress within the office can be alleviated. If the boss is sort of like, you know, if he's or she isn't onto the staff all the time, that allows them time to get their work done, that allows them time off if they've got some personal issues coming up, that ensures that the staff take their break. So instead of having them sit at their desk for 5 or 6 hours solid, they need to take a break. Even if they're so busy, they go, no, I'll have my lunch at my desk while I'm working. It's like, no, go for a walk for half an hour. Take the time, go for 10 minutes into the tea room, do something else rather than continue to work at the desk and put pressure on yourself. We have to have that emotional and mental break. And the other thing is we need to listen to our staff. We need to watch them and listen to them. And if we feel that they're starting to get stressed out, that they're becoming anxious, that they're snapping at either the clients or their colleagues, then it's time to step up and go, you know what, I think a day off tomorrow might be great, or how about you leave a couple of hours early this afternoon, go for a walk, go for a swim, spend some time with your kids, and just chill out.
Yeah.
Just take some time. And these are the things that make our workplace far more productive and profitable. If we've got staff that are becoming sick, taking time off, not being so productive, are just overwhelmed and overworked, then production in the workplace actually goes backwards. So we're really not helping ourselves in a business sense.
Well, if you want to read the entire blog, you can check it out. It's How to Reduce Worker Stress. There's more there to it, and it's at drkarenphillip.com, where you can get all the information. And also, if you are interested in trying out the virtual hypnotherapy on having a personal session with Dr. Karen, you can go to virtualhypnotherapy.com. We have all the information and links on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Doctor, always fascinating and interesting and fun to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Nick. Same to you. It's lovely coming on, and thank you so much for having me.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, there you go. Dr. Karen Phillip, psychotherapist, clinical hypnotherapist, relationship expert, and she's written several books. If you're getting married, it is soon, and it is springtime, you might want to check out her latest book, OMG, We're Getting Married, 7 Essential Things to Know Before We Say I Do. Okay, and we're going to take a quick break here, and the news is coming up next right here on WGN.